into her. Okay, we're coming to the Word of God. I want to start reading just a few verses back from Luke chapter 4 in Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, we read, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Very significant event in the life of Jesus. Baptism is a significant event in the life of all believers. And Eve and I were reflecting that we were baptized as believers on Whit Sunday some years ago. Not the same time, but the same day. Now, into Luke chapter 4. This is what we read. Jesus, this is verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. This evening I wanted to just direct our thinking concerning Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, quite rightly, is the day that we look back and say the church came to birth, came to life on that first day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And all that we talked about this morning in terms of the power of God's Spirit coming upon about 120 people who'd gathered in the upper room, and the way that that spilled over through the ministry of all of the disciples, but in particular Peter, who preaches a magnificent sermon, a tremendous Christ-centered sermon, and out of that we said and we recall 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus. And this fullness of the Holy Spirit, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, meant that they were being given the power that Jesus promised they would have when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Remember, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You've got to wait. And as you wait, and as you seek to pray and look to God, you will find this Holy Spirit, this person of the Holy Spirit. He will come upon you, and you will be given courage and boldness to talk about Jesus at a level that you've never felt before. And your witness and your testimony will have a tremendous effect. Now, Jesus had already said before the Holy Spirit came that they were to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. They'd been given that commission of moving out with the gospel and having no bounds and no limits, but wherever they were led, they were to share the good news of Jesus. He would be with them. Jesus is with us by the power of the Spirit, and we go out and share who he is, what he's done, and the fact that one day he's coming back. And as we lift up Jesus, the Holy Spirit will take our words and he will use our words to bring others to a revelation and a knowledge of who the Lord is. Now, when we look at the chapters that follow in that Acts chapter 2 through to the rest of the book, what we notice is that the power of the Spirit enables God's servants to function even as Jesus functioned. Remember in the sermon that Peter preached, he said, Jesus, man of Nazareth, someone attested among you, someone who was shown among you to be full of signs and wonders and love and grace and power, that this Jesus you crucified, but God has raised him up. And what we see as the Acts of the Apostles unfold, we definitely see that the apostles, the disciples, they begin also to move in signs and wonders. They also begin to pray for the sick. They also begin to cast out demons. They begin to do ministry that Jesus did. It didn't stop with him. It now continues by the Holy Spirit enabling his servants to reach out with the gospel. And that's great, and that's good, and we must never ignore or forget that. The power of the Holy Spirit enabling us to minister like Jesus, to do the things that Jesus did, but also, of course, very much to have the character of Jesus. Because this is one of the challenges that some people face, that they talk so much about these extrovert, these outward signs of the Spirit moving, and of course they are attractive, and you can go to places where there are still tremendous poverty and sickness, and when you are able to demonstrate that Jesus is alive today, and what he did among the crowds all those years ago, he's still doing today, that ministry is still taking place, it's equally needed here. It's just that we're not quite so aware of it, because if we're ill, we can call a doctor, we can go to A&E and what have you. We've got all sorts of things. There are many people in our world who don't have that. And there are people, literally, they feel if they don't have a healing from God, they will die. Now, all of that, I commend and encourage that we should see that happen. But what I notice about Jesus full of the Spirit is that he is overcoming temptation. He's overcoming the evil one. And therefore, what we see is in a time of trial, in a time of testing, Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. That's not quite so popular to talk about. If you say, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can lay hands on the sick? There might be a reasonable cue for that. But if you say, do you want to be full of the Holy Spirit so that when Satan comes with all his tricks and all his guile and all of the rubbish that he wants to hurl at you to bring you down, discourage you, and cause you to walk away, do you want to be filled with the Spirit so you can stand against him, so that you're able to resist the devil and he will flee from you? That's not really quite so attractive, and yet it's more important, in fact. And so let's just see how these trials and these temptations actually cause Jesus to overcome, and he, the testimony is, full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit. It all begins, and that's why I read the few verses from Luke 3, it all begins with Jesus being obedient to be baptized. Remember when he comes to John the Baptist and says, I've come for baptism, John is absolutely overawed. John says, you know, this can't be right. You know, I know who you are. I'm not worthy to untie your shoelaces, as it were. I know you're perfect. I know you're the Messiah. Whatever you're doing, asking me to baptize you. And Jesus said, no, you've got to do it. This is the right thing to do. And in his humanity, Jesus submitted to the Father, and he submitted to going through the waters of baptism. And obedience is always a key to receiving more and more of the Holy Spirit. It isn't just sensationalism. It isn't just about signs, wonders, and miracles. Obedience unlocks a door that enables us to receive God's Holy Spirit, making us more like Jesus and dealing with us in our character, in our innermost being. Now, Jesus, of course, and truly was perfect, but his baptism was an indication that he would not be a savior that would just order us around, you do this and you do that and you do the other. But Jesus would always set an example. Jesus would do things himself and then say, I want you to do it. We know another occasion, he washes the feet of the disciples. And again, they're a bit aghast, just like John the Baptist was caught out by the request for baptism. The disciples say, oh, you know, you can't wash our feet. You know, you are the Savior, the Son of God. And Jesus said, I'm going to do this to set you an example. I'm not doing this to show you up and embarrass you. What I'm about is giving you an example that you are called to serve. And if I, your Lord and Master, if I indeed who are the Christ, the Messiah, if I'm prepared to, as it were, get my hands dirty, if I'm prepared to get a bowl of water and wash your feet, you also need to be prepared to do that. And what we notice is that in that act of obedience, the Father speaks from heaven, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus and anoints him and empowers him. Now, I know there's a bit of a mystery about all this, because we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about three gods. We're talking about one God expressed in three persons. We know there are complexities about quite how these things fall into order. But nevertheless, Jesus in his humanity, we're saying he obeyed what the Father gave him to do. He humbled himself. He came to serve us. He gave himself for us in every way. And he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, all of the wonderful miracles that we read about, this is Jesus anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But obedience was key. And this is vital for us as we desire more of God's Holy Spirit to be operating in our lives, operating in our church, as we look for the power of God to be more and more manifest among us. We must not just get lost in the clouds of how wonderful it would be to see all of this whiz-bang wallops, as it were, but rather we should say, are we prepared to humbly submit ourselves to God and to obey him and to do what he's telling us to do? And baptism is a classic, really, isn't it? That if you were brought up in a church and you had been taught about baptism, maybe it's not such a big step when someone says, you're a believer now, you ought to be baptized. But someone who's had an entirely non-Christian background comes to know Jesus and then is told you need to be baptized, they might well think, well, whatever's all that about? But it's important. It's a very powerful way, as you know, those of you who've been baptized, those of you who've been taught or shared about baptism, we see Jesus as death, we see Jesus as resurrection, we see a death to ourselves arising to a new life in Christ. All of this is expressed. And so Jesus, full of the Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, it is true that in the fullness of time, he's led into days of ministry where so many sick are healed, so many wonderful things happen. But Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, I read, went into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tested, tempted by the devil. He needed to be filled with the Spirit to prepare him to go into that time of great trial. Now, we haven't got time, and it's not really the heart of the message, to go through all of the temptations that Jesus was facing. But the main point to take on board, I humbly submit to you, is that we take on board that Jesus went through a time of great, thorough, severe testing, filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we are to remain true to Jesus, we may not be facing adverse persecution in this country. We certainly know believers who are in their countries facing real trials. Their decision to come to Jesus automatically opens a great flood of maybe abuse and challenge and even the possibility of death. Well, we're not living in a society that's quite like that. Although it is interesting that some of our politicians have been waking up to the fact that Christians need protection in this country and that we should seriously consider whether we are giving Christians the protection that they need. We seem to be giving way to people of every other religion, bending over backwards to make sure they're not upset. And we don't seem to be quite so concerned in this country about how Christians should have the freedom to believe in Jesus, to love Jesus, to worship, to proclaim him, and not to face any adversity in the workplace, in the marketplace, whatever. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went into this incredible, significant time of testing. And again, we just need to just take on board that this was not fun. This was not easy. It's so easy to read, oh yeah, he went up the mountain and he went up on top of the temple and the devil says, jump down. And it's easy just to read it all as if, well, that wasn't too much. We need to get behind it and understand these were very, very challenging tests. Remember that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, faces these tests. Remember that Jesus fasted for 40 days. Now, we've encouraged the church to have a month of prayer. We haven't actually asked for people to fast for 30 days. But Jesus had fasted. He had given himself to seeking Father. And the devil comes. The devil tries to question his identity. If you're the Son of God, the devil comes and says, well, you know, we know you're hungry. Look at these stones. They almost look like loaves of bread. Just a little word from you and that can happen. And Jesus says, no, I live by the word of God. I am sustained, not by physical things. My life is sustained essentially by the spiritual things. And that, again, is a big challenge to us. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit in order that we are able to say, my physical needs are not unimportant, but my greatest need is my spiritual need. We've shared many times over the last few days our need to depend upon God, to literally trust him, not to believe and not to have confidence in our flesh, in our intelligence, or in adverts or anything else. We may do different things to look to God to achieve certain ends, but essentially, always the heart of it is we are depending on the Lord and on the Lord alone. He is the one who will provide the answer. He may use all sorts of ways to do it, but essentially dependence upon him. And remember, again, when the devil, the scripture says that the devil could have given him all the kingdoms. Of course, what the devil didn't say is that if you bow down and I give you the kingdoms, I've got you. You may have the kingdoms, but I've got you. And the devil is always wanting to get hold of us in some way or another. Nothing to be afraid of, nothing to get paranoid or unduly worried about. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But neither must we think that the devil is really quite nice underneath and he's a big softy. That's far from the truth. Even though sometimes he may come across, as he did to Eve in the garden, as if, has God really said? And it all seemed so plausible. But he was a liar and he had one agenda. He had no interest in Adam and Eve's welfare whatsoever. He was totally with the agenda of trying to spoil that which God had made, the masterpiece of God's creation, mankind. And so Jesus goes through these trials, through these temptations. And at the end of it, we read, if you look at all the Bible accounts of the temptations, Jesus is exhausted, physically exhausted. It's one of those occasions where we read that angels came and ministered to him. Now, the only other occasion that, apart from they ministered as they sang praises at his birth, but the only other occasion that angels came and ministered was the angel that came into the Garden of Gethsemane and ministered to Jesus again after another great time of trial and testing. Jesus went in to this time of testing full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, and the record says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Although in so many ways drained and exhausted by the rigors of working through these challenges that were put before him, what wasn't diminished was the Holy Spirit in and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's looking to us, the Lord is looking to us, to also whatever trials and testing. And we know some people face absolutely awful tests. I told you earlier about Phil and Anna Moon. Anna had just retired from being a doctor. She spent her working life caring for others, and all of a sudden, on the holiday of a lifetime, going to retrace the steps of either her father or her grandfather, suddenly these things go very terribly wrong. But you can be sure that Phil and Anna are strong in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can think of other people who've been afflicted with all sorts of things. I think of Andrew Edwards, our brother who was the pastor at Oasis Christian Fellowship, suddenly afflicted with that tumor on the brain. One thing that was very clear, Andrew did not lose his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was confident that he knew whom he'd believed. He was confident where he was going. And ultimately, he did leave us and go into the presence of God. And you can all think of examples of people who'd faced all sorts of different adversity. Doesn't have to be illness. There can be other things, other challenges that come people's way. But what we are able on Pentecost Sunday is to say, yes, the Holy Spirit, he was poured out. Yes, the Holy Spirit is able to equip us and give us the ability to be bold witnesses for Jesus. Yes, he is able to give us many gifts, gifts of healing, authority over demons, all of these things, they're all there. But here is something that the world needs to see. They need to see that believers are not exempt from awful trials and difficulties, but we are able by God's wonderful grace to triumph full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came out of this time and began his ministry. And we know how it begins, we know how it develops, and he is out there on the front line facing all sorts of situations. They bring the blind to him, they bring the lame, they bring the disabled, they bring people with all manner of sicknesses, leprosy, ever so many different diseases, and he heals them all. There's days in which he is touching and healing just about everybody who comes. Not always, but there are days like that. But here is a day that I just felt was worth our consideration. Here's not a glamorous life. Here is a life of intense trial, but it is handled by receiving the fullness of the Spirit. We said it began with his baptism, obeying. This is the right thing to do. I will do it. He continued by going through the time of trial and saying no to the devil, Whatever the devil threw at him, however subtle, whatever guile, or even if it was very upfront, Jesus said, no, the word of God will sustain me. You will worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. And out of that, in the fullness of the Spirit, Jesus ministered. We can look for that same infilling, that same power to come upon us, the same person of the Holy Spirit. He's available to help us in our times of trial. We may feel our times of trial, we may be tempted to feel, well, you know, what I'm facing, surely it's nothing like some of these others. Well, we mustn't look at it like that. And God doesn't look at it like that. God doesn't see a league table of suffering. He doesn't enter into this, my pain is bigger than your pain or whatever. No, he sees what is a trial for us. And you may be handling something even tonight that is a trial for you. And someone else might think you're making a fuss. Well, that's not what God says. If God sees us handling something that is a real trial, he knows us. And he will never belittle us. He'll never say you're making a fuss. But he will come alongside. And one of the main ways to overcome will be say, Lord, fill me. Fill me afresh with your Spirit. Fill me afresh with your power. I think we're singing the song, All to Jesus I Surrender. And that's one of my favorite songs. When I was in Ecuador, my friend Antonio, he didn't know a lot of English, but he did know that song. And he is someone who's handled considerable challenges. And just all to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. And when we surrender all, there's not a vacuum. When we surrender all, there's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come. Let's just close our eyes just for a moment. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. I've shared this evening, I've said that if I said, well, would you like prayer to receive more of God's Holy Spirit to help you pray for the sick and see these wonderful things, I'm sure there will be many of us who would say, yes, I'd love that, because I am really disturbed when I see poverty, sickness, desperation. But what if I say to you what we've been sharing tonight? Are you going through a time of trial? Are you going through a time of testing, temptation? The same Holy Spirit that is able to give us the power to be like Jesus in his ministry, he is able to give us the power to stand the times of testing, to overcome in the times of trial. And if you would like prayer for God to help you in this way, I would just invite you to just lift your hand if you say, yes, I would like prayer for God's Holy Spirit to strengthen me and help me in my time. If you feel that God is saying to you, yes, this is what I need, if you just lift your hand, and what I'll do is when we're singing the last song, I'll just come and pray with you quietly while we're worshiping God. But if you would like to receive prayer in the way that we've been describing,